How many are glad to be children of the Lord? Come on, I said, how many are glad to be a son or daughter of the Lord? He is so good, isn't he? Yeah. What a great God. Yes. He sees you. He knows you. He loves you. Yes. Still puts up with you. He came to us because he loved us. Yes. Say it with me. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. His only begotten Son, his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whom the Son sets free, the Bible says, is free indeed. Free from sin, free from shame, free from condemnation. I was radically saved when I was about 16. I tried a little bit when I was 14. Was a worse sinner afterwards than I was before I tried. But I grew up going to church. Didn't mean anything to me. But when I got radically saved, and really what was a revival in the north end of Seattle, my whole life changed. Because I realized I didn't have to try it in my own strength, do it in my own strength. I could have someone take that shame and give me forgiveness. I may not have been a bank robber, but I knew I was a sinner. And Jesus came into my heart. And he saved me, filled me with his presence and his spirit, and put a fire within my heart that burns hotter even today. Come on, church, is there a fire that burns in your heart for Jesus today? If you haven't given your life to the Lord, you have so much life to look forward to because he loves you so much. He created you for a purpose. How many know that Jesus created you for a reason? You're not here by accident. Right. Somebody might have tried to tell you that once, but that's not true. Right. You're his. You're his. And he's got a plan for you. You know, today, there's a lot of issue and a lot of concern and about identity. Identity is huge. And genealogy study. There's billions spent on people searching out their history. What's your history? Who's your father? Who's your mother? What's your family history? And if you don't know, it can seem a little uncertain and insecure. It's foolish and dangerous to throw away an entire nation's history because some people don't like it. The Bible says, in Psalm 11, verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If you cast off law and morals and righteousness, you cast off the family, the underpinnings of society, life and godliness, your entire society crumbles. But God's got a history for you. Even if you're here this morning and you don't know what your family history is, I'm here to tell you that Jesus has an incredible family history for you. He's got a great plan and a great family. Look around and say, you're all a great family. He's got a great, this is part of God's family anyway. The royal priesthood, strange phrase if you haven't heard it before. A royal priesthood. That sounds interesting. Let's talk about it. Number one, who is he? Who is he? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Now, I'm going to take some time this morning, and I'm going to talk from the Scriptures, and I'm going to bring some principles, hopefully alive to our hearts and our spirits, about who he is, who we are, and what do we do about all of this. I'm going to read first from what's called the New King James Bible, and then I'm going to be reading from the Passion Translation. So tighten up your seatbelts, hold on, and here we go. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. 1 Peter chapter 2, 4 through 8. If you need a Bible, there's one in the back, but I'll also have them up on the overhead. Coming to him, coming to Jesus. The context is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Coming to him as to a living stone. Rejected indeed by men. How many know Jesus was rejected by men? But chosen by God and precious. Now you also, verse 5, as living stones, living people, you're alive, are being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. God is building a family. God is building a home. God is building a priesthood. What do priests do? Well, in the Old Testament, you take a look, and the Old Testament priest would go and he would bring the sacrifice. He would represent the people to God. The priest would also represent God to the people. And that was one time a year, especially. We'll talk about this. I'm jumping around from my notes a little. But there was one time a year in Israel where the high priest could go before God, before the ark of God's presence. There was a thing called the tabernacle and the temple, and there was furniture in that place. But there was an innermost room where the ark of God was. And this is not the ark that's in a box in Washington, D.C. All right, actually, it is that ark, but it's not in a box in Washington, D.C. We don't quite know where it is. But it represented the presence of God. And that high priest would come once a year and sprinkle the blood, covering the people's sins. But now, he says, you're all priests. Turn to each other and say, you look good, priest. You're all living stones being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it's also contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion, the place of God, the place of the city of God, a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. He who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Thank God. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. To those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, the one in charge. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. If people don't believe in the Lord, there is a certain end. If you do believe in the Lord, there's a certain end. How many want a good end? Yeah, me too. We want a good end to our lives. Now, I want to read those same scriptures out of the Passion Version. It's a little easier, perhaps, to understand than what you might see in the King James, or I read from the New King James. So keep coming to him who is the living stone. Though he was rejected and discarded by men, but chosen by God and is priceless in God's sight. Come be his living stones, who are continually being assembled into a sanctuary for God. Now, I'm sure, like me, you've understood in your life, the Lord keeps chiseling off part and fashioning and making you different and keep growing. We keep changing, and sometimes you say stuff and you feel bad about it. You go, ooh, I'm not going to say that next time. And hopefully we grow enough so we learn not to say it the first time, right? But he keeps changing. We keep growing. He is doing the same thing with us in the family of God. He is fashioning a living stone to build his house with. And we're being continually assembled into a sanctuary for God. For now you serve as holy priests, offering up spiritual sacrifices that he readily accepts through Jesus Christ. Do you know that you get to bring your sacrifice, if you will, of praise and worship to God? The Old Testament, the priest had to, there was an animal that was slain, there was blood that was shed, and it was a bloody experience. Well, the blood of Jesus was shed for you and me, so now we get to raise our hands and bring a sacrifice of praise, or bring our lips of praise, songs of praise and worship to God. So that's what we get to do now. For it says in Scripture, look, I lay a cornerstone in Zion, a chosen and priceless stone, and whoever believes in him will certainly not be disappointed. Even if you don't understand all these scriptures, I'm just saying, the Bible says if you put your trust in him and believe in him, you will not be disappointed. As believers, you know his great worth. Indeed, his preciousness is imparted to you. He's precious. He's rare. How many know that there is no other religion on the planet where the leader of that religion died for all its followers and then rose again? Only Jesus rose again. And it is a historical fact. You go to the Jewish historians, Josephus and others, and they talk about this Jesus who rose again. And the bottom line is, basically, he blew everybody's speakers when he did that. They didn't know what to do with it. But his disciples did. His preciousness is imparted to you. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected and discarded has now become the cornerstone. a stone that makes them stumble, a rock to trip over. They keep stumbling over the message because they refuse to believe it, and this they were destined to do. If you choose to not believe, somewhere in your life, just like me, you're going to have a time where there's a stumbling, because Jesus wants to bring you to Himself. I don't think there's anybody in this room, I'm not here to offend you, but I don't think there's anybody in this room who's perfect. Is that right? Look at each other and say, maybe you, not me. None of us are perfect. None of us. We've all messed up. We've all blown it. But thank God Jesus is a God of grace and love who went to the cross of Calvary for you and me. He died, He bore your sins, He went into the death burial chamber, and then He rose again. And the Bible says He's alive, He lives to pray for you and for me. The gospel is the good news. You don't have to bear your sins, your sickness, your sorrow, your shame. That should shake you to the core. Thank God I don't have to bear that stuff. What's a cornerstone? How many builders we got in the room? Builders, contractors, come on. Either were or are. You read about it in a book. Okay. All right. What's a cornerstone? Who can tell me? Mark, what's a cornerstone?
I believe it's the first stone that they lay on the foundation when they start to
build. All right. The first stone that they lay in the foundation when they start a building program. What does it do? From what comes, or what comes from the cornerstone? The rest of the entire building. Now, I've got in here, if it's still in here, I was given a long time ago, a copy of, or a actual, how many know what that is? A plumb line. It's an absolute weapon if you drop it on your foot, so I'm trying not to. That is sharp, but it's a plumb line, and it hangs down straight and true. And from that, a builder builds a straight wall, because you know what is straight. It's not going to weave to the right or to the left. It hangs straight. A cornerstone is the first and primary stone that is laid. The rest of the entire building is built upon that cornerstone. Nowadays, we do ceremonial cornerstones, and they're lifted up off the ground on a corner of a big building downtown, and you'll see writing on it dedicated to whatever, etc. But a cornerstone is that on which the entire rest of the building depends. Jesus is the chief cornerstone of life. And if your life doesn't make sense, if you can't figure out how come I work and work and work and that wall isn't straight. Come on, anybody ever done that? Did you ever paint a wall and you stand back and you look at it and you go, that doesn't look at all like what I thought it was going to look like. So you go back to the drawing board. When I was a kid, I think my parents just wanted to keep me busy. They had me repaint a wall a half a dozen times. On the sixth day, you know, one time, we were up in the mountains of Colorado. I think they were just keeping me busy. They said, okay, let's do stripes, green and white, green and white. So I did green and white, stand back, look at my work, and I go, hey, that's cool. They go, yeah, we don't like that at all. Let's paint it again. Six times. But it's the same thing with the efforts we put into our lives. I keep trying to build this thing, and it doesn't work. How come life doesn't work? Maybe you didn't look at the cornerstone. Maybe you didn't look at the plumb line. Maybe you didn't set it up according to the way it should be. And Jesus says, come here, son or daughter. Give your life to me, I'll change this whole building all around. And I'll make a stone and a home that'll give you something to live for. He's number one, He's preeminent, He is the chief cornerstone. He's got all authority, He's the Son of the Father. Father God sent His Son for you and me to save us from our sins, and we don't have to do it ourselves. What are the results of trusting Him? We learn it right there in the scriptures that we've just read. You will in no means be ashamed. Now, don't look around, but could you raise your hand with me? Anybody in this room ever felt ashamed? Come on. You ever do something that you knew you're really a doofus on? Ever still do stuff? You go, that was just a dork thing to do. I don't know that they use that word anymore, but I still understand what it means. But the Bible says when I give my life to Jesus, I'm not going to be ashamed. That literally in the Greek means you won't be confounded, you won't be put to the blush, you won't be shamed down. There's a lot of shaming that goes on today, body shaming and shaming for different things in school and public school, and people shame one another. But Jesus says, I take that shame. You don't have to bear that shame. I took all that shame on me. He loves you. If you died today, please don't do it. If you died today, do you know where you'd be? Where do you go? If you have surrendered your life to Jesus, the Bible says He lives in your heart. If you die, you're going straight into the arms of Jesus. You know exactly where you'll be. If you have loved ones that have gone on before you, that have given their lives to the Lord, then you're going to be able to see them face to face. If you don't know where you're going, for certainty, today is your day to give your life to Jesus Christ. So you can know for certain that shame is not what you'll embrace. By grace, you are saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm not going to give you a list of six things to go do here today so you can be okay with God. That's not what we do. We receive what He's done, and then we're saved by grace. Then to you, the Bible says, He is elect and precious. He's everything. You know, the old phrase says, if Jesus is anything, He's everything. He's everything. And He is the one who knows you. That means He's honorable and of precious value, and He's virtuous, and above all else, He's rare. Do you know, come alive here this morning. Did you ever change your life for anybody or anything? You ever move across state to get a job? Ever change the way you walked home from school so you could meet that girl you're interested in walking home from school that way? Or ladies, did you ever walk in a certain direction just so you could see that guy? Or did you ever drive your car by somebody's house? Or, Larry, did you ever carry your books for that bride of yours? You know, I remember hearing your story when you were a kid. How old were you when you started carrying your books to school? Yeah, you. Yeah, 10, 13, something like that. Yeah, 10 or 13. Put him on the spot. Sorry, Larry. Next time you're leading the meeting, you're going to do the same thing to me, okay? You go right ahead. Okay, but we change our lives for what's important to us. Or you buy something that's really important to you, and that'll change your life because all of a sudden your bank account's really different, right? But if it was important enough to you, you did it. You'll not be disappointed if you surrender your life to Jesus in that same way. He's precious. Now, because of all this, who are you? That's who He is. Who are you? 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, the Bible goes on. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you might proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Let's hear it out of the Passion. But you are God's chosen treasure, priests who are kings, a spiritual nation, set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience His marvelous light. Now He claims you as His very own. He did this so you would broadcast His glorious wonders throughout the world. He claims you as His very own. Did you ever play sports as a kid, or you went somewhere as a kid and there's a whole group of people around and your parents are with you and they're doing a check off the names and they say, so whose kid is this? And hopefully your parents didn't deny your existence at that point. They say, he's my kid. I claim him. And the coach looks at you and goes, you sure you want that? No. That is my kid. And Jesus is doing the same thing right now. He's my kid. She's my kid. Hands off, devil. You can't destroy that life because I've saved my son, my daughter. Hands off. He claims us as God's devoted ones. He did this so you would broadcast, so you would broadcast. I was in broadcasting for 35 years. I loved broadcasting. And this says you're all going to be broadcasters. Say, I am a broadcaster. So you would broadcast His glorious wonders throughout the world. For at one time you were not God's people, but now you are. At one time you knew nothing of God's mercy. Watch this. Because you hadn't received it yet. But now, say it with me, you are drenched with it. You're drenched with the mercy of God. I said, you are drenched with the mercy of God. Now, if you'd been standing out in the rain about 10:30 last night, or 10 o'clock, at least in our area, you would have literally been drenched. Would have been dumb to be out there because you might also got a lightning bolt. Yeah. But you were drenched if you were outside. We watched a boat go right up the channel. The only thing moving out of the water last night, that entire thunder and lightning storm, was a boat with a little green light. And I made sure it made it all the way across. That light didn't go out. It didn't sink. I don't know what I would have done if it had of. I would have gone, oops, 911. But you're drenched with the mercy of God. Now, maybe you consider this basic, but I want you to understand the grace of God is getting a gift you don't deserve. His beauty, His mercy, His love, His kindness, His forgiveness. But the mercy of God that we are drenched with is not getting what we do deserve. Come on. Come on. Don't look so holy at me. Not getting what we do deserve. I know what I deserve. I thank God that He forgave me. So I don't deserve that anymore. What I get now is His good news. I love being drenched with the mercy of God. It says you're chosen, you're select, you're favorite. You've chosen Him and He chooses you. What does it mean? You've responded to His Spirit and your choices change you. Well, I don't want to change. I just want to go to church on Sunday morning for an hour. Well, I'm sorry. We're a little longer than that now. But He changes you. He doesn't let you go. He works with you and me. But why does He do it? So you and I can proclaim His praises. That's why we do it. We say, thank you, Lord. That's what we did this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for your mercy. Thanks for saving me, putting me in your family. Thanks for making me a part of your army. Thanks that I've got the victory. Thank you, Lord, that I've got your forgiveness and your grace. So you can shine radiantly to other people about Jesus. So you can tell them your story. That's called evangelism. We make a big deal out of it. We don't have to. Just go tell them what Jesus did for you. Hey, Jesus forgave me. You're royal. A royal priesthood. Literally means you're kingly. Maybe you didn't grow up feeling like a king or a queen. And Jesus says, in my family, you're a king and you're a queen. Aren't you glad? Yes. You're now His priesthood then. You're the priest. Not just one time a year. I think there's a picture of the priest. Maybe we showed them earlier. There's a picture of the high priest. And now all of us raise our hands and we're a priesthood for God. Every day, all day long, we get to live in His presence and bring His praises. Yeah, here we go. Now we get to bring His praises. We're all the priesthood to the Lord. Isn't that good news? You weren't His people. And He says, now you are His people. I want to make a simple statement to you. I want you to hear me. Because this isn't what a lot of people believe. But it's what the Bible teaches us. Jesus is not angry with you. Come on. I said, Jesus is not angry at you. God is not angry at you. The Bible says God's angry at sin. That's why He destroyed it in Jesus Christ. And if we sin, we repent, we turn away from those sins. But He put it on Jesus. He's not angry at you sitting in heaven. He looks at you and goes, I love you. I love you. Do you know you're loved by God? Do you know you're loved by God? And if you do, it gives you a reason to sing and praise. When you go to heaven, it's not going to be for judgment against sin. There'll be rewards. Some will get rewards, and how you choose, what you do. You're not saved by your works, but what you do, there'll be rewards that he grants and gives. But you're not going to be facing the judgment for sin. Jesus already faced that judgment. That makes me happy. Now what do? You give him away. You give him away. 1 Peter 2:11 and 12. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God on the day of visitation. The Passion says, my divinely loved friends, since you are resident aliens and foreigners in this world, I appeal to you to divorce yourselves from the evil desires that wage war within you. Live honorable lives as you mix with unbelievers, even though they may accuse you of being evildoers. For they'll see your beautiful works and have a reason to glorify God in the day he visits us. What does it mean to be a stranger and pilgrim? I know people could look at us, people could look at me all day long and say, yeah, you're a stranger. But what does it mean to be a stranger and pilgrim? It means a sojourner, somebody who's just passing through this place. I may have a house in the city, but I'm not a citizen of the country. You get it? I got a house in the city, but I'm not a citizen of that nation or whatever. It, literally in the Greek, it means an alien resident. I'm stranger and pilgrim to this earth. I'm on my journey to Jesus. I'm only passing through, the old song says. So don't do what everybody else does. You live my way, and you show them the love of Jesus. When you go in the grocery store, when you go in the bank, when you go see your friends down the block or the cul-de-sac, show them the love of Jesus. When everybody's putting the party down and everybody's doing what everybody does nowadays, don't do what they're doing, but radiate the love of Jesus to them. When people come out of prison and they've got no hope, or when people are addicted and they need to know somebody still loves them, show them and shine to them that Jesus still loves them. For God so loved the world. Yes. It includes you and me. Somebody loved us. Raise your right hand, would you? Say, I'm loved by God. And I'm glad. Abstain, hold off from the fleshly things. The Bible in the Greek literally says, conduct yourself honorably, your behavior being beautiful and virtuous. Why? Because if they accuse you, condemn you, let it be wrong, but let what comes out of your mouth be praise to Jesus. And give them away. We talked the last couple of weeks, and we're going to close. Talked the last couple of weeks about Joseph in the Bible. Joseph who went down to Egypt. Joseph, who was a man with God's hands on him, who was a genius, who saved an entire nation of Egypt alive in a time of terrible famine. 7 great years of crops, 7 horrible years. Gathered the grain together and kept an entire nation alive. And he also kept Israel alive, his family alive. Joseph was a man with the hand of God on him, just like you're a man or a woman with the hand of Jesus on you, sent to help save a world of people that need him. Wherever you are, bring them the life of the Lord and let them know that Jesus loves them. The old song says, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Are you glad? Royal priesthood. What does it mean? It means he's made me royal. It means he's made me a priest who I get to sing to him and I get to rejoice in him and I get to yell if I'm frustrated and he doesn't condemn me. I don't yell at people, but I come to God with my need and I say, Lord, help me out. And he does. Because he's a great God who loves you so. Give him away like Joseph gave him away. Know who he is. Know who he is in you. Watch your words that you say about yourself and agree with his word. Watch what you say to yourself. Anybody ever have self-talk going on in your life? Watch what your self-talk is. Say, I'm a royal priest. I'm saved by grace. I'm His, and I'm His son. I'm His daughter, and He cleansed me and made me clean, and I'm not ashamed because He's my Lord. And watch what you say to yourself, and then watch what you say to others to bring them life and celebrate being His royal priesthood. Stand with me, church. God is so good. He loves you. He cares. And if the Lord has ministered to your heart this morning, I pray that you'll find this place of peace in His presence, this place of joy in His presence, because you belong to Him. Musicians, will you come? We're going to go back to the song, This is Amazing Grace, and we're going to finish with that. But I'm here to tell you that the good news is He loves you. If you need Him this morning and you've not surrendered to Him, come on up front. I'll be honored to pray with you. I'll talk to you later, talk to you afterwards if you'd like, and happy to pray with you. But if you're here this morning, you've already given your life to the Lord, maybe you need this reminder in your own spirit. Here's who I am because of who He is. Amen? Lord, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for the good news of who You are, and that You've saved us and redeemed us, and we don't have to bear that shame anymore. We thank You that we are Yours. And as we go from this place, we do so, Lord, with joy and rejoicing, because You've broken the power of sin and darkness. You've given us new life, and You've redeemed us and saved us and made us Your own. For us, You took our sins. You took our sorrows. You took our punishment that we deserved. And we thank You, Lord, for that good news means that we get to leave here full of joy. That good news means we get to know that we're saved and that we're a royal priesthood. That we get to come and bring praise to You and have shame off our back, and we get to go shine You to others. Bless each person who's come to this place today. Let them know the encouragement of Your grace in their lives. And the fact is, Lord, we're so grateful because we're drenched with Your mercy. We thank You so much now in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Would you raise your hand for the blessing, please? The amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And they all said,
amen.
Be released. Have a fantastic day in the Lord. Amen.